Taylor. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 29th of 2017. I have the same home group as Eloy, the speakeasy. Kind of a goofy name. We thought that we could attract newcomers with a strange name for a meeting. That, like, if we named it to something too serious, it might scare them. They don't want to show up, you know. I do have a sponsor, and I sponsor other guys. And, I go to AA. I do AA today. I was cracking up. I related a lot to what Eloy was talking about, a lot of that stuff. But I try, you know, I came to, you going to give me time or something? Gotcha. I got sent to AA, my first AA meeting, I got sent to it. And at the time, I was in college, trying for a second time at college, because typically if something doesn't work out in my life, I try it again. And, try harder. And I told myself when I went to that college, I had a sneaking suspicion that I had an alcohol problem. A sneaking suspicion. And I said, I'm not going to drink at all. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to stay sober the entire time. And, you know, I'll probably drink around the holidays or something, but I'm going to stay sober at college and I'm going to apply myself. And I've always been able to succeed at things and when I apply myself, you know what I mean? And so it was just a matter of like buckling down, you know, and I'd been having some problems with alcohol. And so I met my roommate and I was drunk that day, the first day in college, you know, and then he was an NA guy, he'd been smoking some crack, but he wasn't going to NA anymore. I met him at orientation. And so I thought, you know, this guy's got some serious problems. This guy's smoking crack. This guy's got a problem. And, so he was going to class and stuff, and we were roommates. And one day, pretty quickly, he came home and found me in my room drinking alone at 11 a.m. with a case of beer. And probably looking pretty depressed. And he said, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something like along the lines of, hey, what are you doing, man? And I decided at that minute that I was going to go get a room by myself. I didn't want to have to deal with that, you know. Rough day, that kind of thing. And so I went and got my own little room, and I was having a hard. I was drinking every day, and it was getting to the point. I started seeing a therapist. I was getting really depressed, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I started seeing a therapist, and she had me hit something with a stick, and I broke the stick. And so she said there was a lot of anger in there, too. It was not only depression, there was a lot of anger, too. And she recommended AA, and she somehow figured out I was drinking. I know I didn't tell her how much I was drinking, but she figured out I was drinking a lot. And she said, why don't you try an AA meeting, and the school will buy you a taxi. And you don't have to, you know, you just have to show up. And for whatever reason, I agreed to go. And I knew before I even got in the taxi that AA was not for me. I really did. This was just something I was doing to appease the therapist. We needed to get deep. We needed to dig deeper in this group that, you know, this therapy. And, you know, this is just the, you know, this isn't going to resolve anything. Alcohol was helping me, you know what I mean? When I would sober up, I would have a really hard time. I would have a really hard time. And I would go walk into class, and I'd see some girl I liked or something. Oh, you know, just like Eli was talking about. And I'd run back to the dorm room and slam a couple beers, and then I would go back to the class. And I would know that I hadn't had enough to drink yet, because I would still feel like I wasn't okay, man. Then I would leave class again and go drink some more. And I did not like being sober. I couldn't interact with anybody. I was just living, and my world was getting real small, man. It was just me in this little room, and I'd go out occasionally, and I had one friend who would buy me beer. who would lend me money that he never got back to buy beer and also give me a ride. And this guy was my best friend. I mean, that's all we did together. And he was a true angel, because this guy would just come get me in his car and take, there was one gas station that would sell us beer. And so she sent me to that AA meeting, and so, you know, I didn't hear anything, and it looked like Oprah's book club to me is what it looked like. I was in Sarasota. There was a bunch of retired women there, and I'd always kind of been interested in a cougar situation, so that was. But I just wanted someone to pay all my bills so I could drink. You know what I mean? There was a lot of that down in Sarasota. So that thought probably crossed my mind at some point during the meeting. But I knew very quickly that I wasn't going to be an AA. This is not for me, man. I knew the second I walked in a room, all that kind of stuff. And I left, and some lady come running out of the room with a big book, chased me out into the parking lot. And I was like, this is unbelievable, man. I don't want to talk to this, you know. And she's, hey, you know, we're so glad you're here. And, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, screw off, you know. It's like, this, you know, leave me alone. I was trying to just get out of the conversation and leave the area. And I got home that night, and I decided I was not going to drink anymore, for good and for all. Because I'm not trying to end up like that. And it seems like the writing is on the wall. And so I buckled down and started staying sober for a day and a half. And that was, I can specifically remember after about midway through the second day, I was having a really hard time. I don't think, I had not left the apartment other than to get a little food and come right back. And I was really stressed out, and this was a lot. Not drinking was really weighing on me. And it was consuming a lot of, like, my energy. And about midway through the second day, I just remember this little thought, and I said, I think you're tripping, man. I think you're making way too big of a deal out of this. And just, it was like immediately, it was like relief. It was like, okay, I don't have to do that anymore. Thank God. You know what I mean? Thank God. You know, I don't have to stay sober anymore. I got relief before I even started drinking, because I knew it was coming. And as soon as, that's what always happened. I would make up my mind to drink, and then just something would just change, just slightly. And it was just, at that point, I was off, man. There was no stopping it at that point. When it was time to drink, I was going to drink. And so I made it a day and a half. I ended up getting sent to rehab after that. The therapist, she was being very dramatic, I thought. And she's like, you know, she was saying, you're going to kill yourself or something like that. And I was like, are you serious, dude? You know, a little too emotional. And so she made me this promise I could come back to school if I went to rehab, which turned out to be the big lie. I never went back to that school, and I've never left Tampa since that day. That was my last day in Sarasota, the last, you know, 10 years or whatever. So that was in 2011. I went to rehab, and When I drank, like I talked, so I started sobering up, man, a lot like you. I just outright rejected AA. I did not want to be an alcoholic, and I didn't want to be a part of this thing. And something where I would hang out in AA for a while, and I seemed to be able to stay sober for 6 months, a year, just going to some meetings, living in a halfway house. I can't really explain that, because before that point in time, I could only stay sober for a day and a half. So something changed slightly. But the experience of being sober was the same, man. And nothing changed in me for that. And it would just go on for like a year. And I would just start getting pissed off at people. And frustrated at my job and wondering, you know, where's my wife and kids, man? Where's my career? And I always knew I deserved better than what I was getting. And that people were going to realize that, you know, this isn't the way we should be treating this guy, man. I had great, you know, I knew that I had something great in me. And I just needed someone to recognize it. And no one seemed to recognize it. And so I would get fed up with being alive, man, going to this mundane job beneath me. Barely making the bills, living in a halfway house, can't get anything going. And I did not like my life, and I was consumed with this idea that this is not the way it's supposed to be. Constantly, this is not the way it's supposed to be. I had 1,000 other things. My life is not, this is not my life, man. And sooner or later, something would change, and I would just go drink. Sooner or later, whether that was 6 months later, a year and a half later, I would just go drink. And drinking gave me freedom from all that. Drinking meant complete freedom to be the guy that I always wanted to be. And I'd be all worried about my future and my life not being the way I want it to be. And I would have 4 or 5 beers, wouldn't stop there, but I would have 3, 4, 5 beers, and I would just suddenly realize that my life is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And that, what a beautiful world, man. And, you know, these people, and, you know, I can't wait to meet them. And the future is assured, and all this stuff. And I couldn't believe I forgot all that. I was so convinced everything was okay. And that happened to me when I drank, man. I loved alcohol. And when I was sober, I never felt that way. It was always wrong. I was always in the wrong place with the wrong people, doing the wrong thing, wrong job. It was a nightmare, man. I couldn't let go of it. And so, you know, I think ultimately, you know, I don't know if anybody else has done this, but I lied about my sobriety date for about 6 months. So I drank on May 28th, 2017, I would imagine. That would have been the date. And I had drank 2 weeks before. I was having like this little thing where I drank and then sobered up for 2 weeks and drank again. And it was just, man, not going good. And I was crying all the time. And so, I mean, it was a mess, man. And I was in this relationship that, no, I wasn't in the relationship yet, but that was coming. And I was on the hunt, as they say, for a solution to my problem. And I sobered up, and I decided I wasn't going to tell anybody. And for about 6 months, I walked around and picked up a 3-year medallion, got a presentation. I couldn't believe how well I was doing. I'd never been doing this well in my life. 3 years sober. It was good. And but I was once again at this point. So this was when I really began to consider killing myself. I really couldn't. You know, would I have done it or not? I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm kind of my favorite person, so would I kill myself? It would have to be really bad. And it was. It was really bad, man. And I could not pick, I'd been in and out of AA so much, I could not picture this ever working for me. I had no faith that this thing was gonna work. I knew what sobriety was all about, man. I'd been doing that for 7 years on and off. That was hell. And I hated it. I did not want sobriety. And I knew what drinking was, and I did not want drinking. I didn't want to drink anymore. And I was just kind of there, and there really wasn't anything to do except kill myself at that point. That's when that started to come, and there was no friendly direction for me to go. Could not picture life drinking or sober anymore. And so I had a girlfriend, and that was keeping me in it for a while. And she was dragging me to a lot of AA meetings. And I was not trying to go to AA at that point in time. But I was getting to a lot of AA meetings with this girl. And seeing people I hadn't seen in years, that kind of thing. And the guy, I was at that Wednesday night Palmacia book study. I think it starts at 8:30. And there was a guy there who I'd seen around and who had called me out before. Unreasonably, and I thought he was. I didn't think he was a real nice guy, because he had just confronted me about something ridiculous, like, you know, not you know, poor meeting attendance, you know. And I was like, man, what an asshole. So I saw him and I heard him share that night, and I remember thinking something along, you know, like, I have no idea what these people are talking about. And it seemed like that guy knew what he was talking about. And he did. Because he did AA and he does AA. But something about that guy, plus the girl was telling me that I should ask him to sponsor me. I didn't necessarily want that guy to sponsor me. I wanted another guy. And the other guy had a Mercedes and looked like a lot of money. So that's, I was interested in that. And but she was really pushing me to this other guy. And I just did whatever she said. So I went ahead and asked this guy to sponsor me. And she, you know. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I wasn't like making my mind up like I'm really going to do AA or any of that stuff, man. I knew I was not happy and things were not going well. It was getting really hard to lie to myself that I can do this myself, like Eli was talking about. Obviously what I'm doing is not working, man. And I could always kind of lie to myself about that. And always had this confidence about me. And now I'll figure it out, man. A lot of energy. And all that was pretty much gone. And this guy, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into. Much like what Eloy said, this guy just immediately started giving me directions. And I started listening to him. And then he would tell me things that I thought did not apply to sobriety. Like things to do in my relationship. And I would say, stay in your lane, man. That's what I was thinking. Because this guy's like, he's telling me to go do things totally outside of AA. Like, I need to listen to him. And so I didn't completely listen to this guy initially. And I had resistance still. Even after saying all this, you know, I want to kill myself. I still think, you know, this guy's trying to kill me more. You know, I shouldn't listen to this guy. But just like Eli was talking about, man, everything I do in AA is the opposite of anything I would do naturally. It's nothing that would naturally come from me, so it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think again, Eli was talking about this, but I'm an alcoholic, and I believe at my core, I want to drink myself to death. That is in me, man. And so when somebody starts offering sobriety to me, I think there's like a very instinctual resistance to that. No matter how ready I am to get sober, man, I just think it's like animalistic. I don't want to be sober, man. Simple things, you know. But again, these guys were talking about sobriety. But thankfully, I was in enough. I think what really happened was I was in enough misery of my own making that I decided to listen to this guy and actually do what he was saying. There came a point where I just started doing what he said, man. And it was all self-inflicted misery, so thank God for that. But I'd like to not do that again. So I just started listening to this guy, and pretty early on I realized that during those 7 years coming in and out of AA, I'd never attempted to help anybody. It was one of the first things this guy told me to do, is start trying to help people in AA, new guys I see at meetings and that kind of stuff. And I realized that this was a new experience for me, and I must have not done this, you know. And I also realized I didn't like it. So all this stuff I told myself about I'm a good, kind, helpful person was a lie. I started doing, through this work in AA, I started to uncover these lies that I've been telling myself my entire life. The truth started to become apparent about me, about what I have, who I am, what makes me an alcoholic and all that stuff. Just from doing the work and listening, you know, listening to my sponsor and doing what he says, I started to see the truth for once in my life. And a lot of terror and delusion before that. And so I've just been pretty much, not pretty much, I've just been doing that ever since. I just do what that guy told me to do. And I believe I took a first step because I haven't stopped doing AA. There was a guy over in St. Pete one time, I heard him say, he'll know he took a first step when he dies sober. because that would mean he never stopped treating his alcoholism. And then he died sober, so that guy must have had a first step. And but I had a problem coming to terms with what it meant to be an alcoholic and admitting that I had that thing. That's why I always left AA. Stopped treating it. I don't think it's that serious, that kind of stuff. And I have a real sense of usefulness and purpose today. And I get confused sometimes and think that's in my career or in my bank account or in a relationship or all these other things. I've never found a real sense of meaning in any of those things. That's what I've been trying my whole life. If I can just change. Got to get out of this freaking job, man. I got to get out of this freaking relationship, man. This city. And, obviously none of that ever worked because I ended up in AA. And I was never able to solve my problem and get any relief doing any of that stuff. The problem was self-centeredness. I came to find in AA. And I... horrific amount of it. Not just a little self-centeredness. A lot of self-centeredness, man. Way more than I could have ever comprehended. Probably more than I comprehend today. I'm probably still coming to see just how self-centered I am. And that's the way AA has gone for me. So the answer then is selfless behavior. Helping others, blah, blah, blah. I'm about done, man. We don't have 15 more. So that's where I found an answer to my problem and that suffering and that what's wrong with me, what needs to change, why can't I stop drinking? I got an answer to all those things in helping others and thinking of myself less and just doing the stuff around here in AA. So that's all I got.